Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's October 24th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. Scott, you know what my favorite movie is?
Rounders.
That's my favorite poker movie. Do you know what my favorite movie is?
Cincinnati Kid.
That's my least favorite poker movie. No, my favorite movie is The Matrix.
Oh, okay.
I always felt like I was the one. You know, I was Neo.
Yeah, I don't do sci-fi, so I've not seen The Matrix.
I love that whole anagram Neo One thing that they so intelligent, those Wachowski brothers.
Yeah.
So anyway, I always loved that movie, and I always wondered if they could ever do a sequel, you know, to the trilogy. You know, maybe bring Neo back as a ghost or something, like, use the force, Luke, you know, something like that.
Was he in Speed?
He's in both
Or
Speeds.
Bill and Ted's.
Was he in both Speeds? No, he's in the first Speed, and then what's that?
No, yeah.
So I thought, is there going to be another Matrix soon? And then I log on to Full Tilt Poker, and it says The Matrix.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, what is this? There, you know, is, you know, maybe Chris Jesus Ferguson going to be the savior in this one? What's going on?
Oh, that would have been great.
But it turns out that it's merely a new way to play poker online. You join a tournament, and it's a sit-and-go, and they divide it up into four tournaments. There's basically you against the same people.
Same nine players.
All different seats, though. You're not seated the same way.
Four tournaments at once.
All the same tournament, four at once. And it's just like, if you're a multi-tabler, if you're somebody who goes and plays in like six cash games at once, and this is nothing to you. This is exactly this is nothing.
But actually, someone, probably a break, because you're only playing four.
Yeah, exactly. But for someone like me who plays one, maybe two, this was like, wow, it was wild. And I tried it out. Here's the deal. If you knock someone out, you get a point. If you survive longer than someone at your table, you get a point. If you win one, you get like 2 points. I don't even care what the system is.
Sort of like cricket. It's a complicated point system.
Yeah, I mean, it's really wild. But you're playing four sit-and-goes at once, and if you win the sit-and-go, you win money. If you come in second in one of the sit-and-goes, you win money. If you come in third in one of the sit-and-goes, you win money. But then the point totals also give you another chance to win money. If you have the most points, and second most and third most, you win money. And they got this little thing, if you keep the tournament lobby open, it shows you where you are.
Ah, so it's got a little ticker.
Gives you a projected like point total, like where you're going to finish, what I think you're going to finish. And,
okay.
And if you're in the money yet or not. And yeah, it sucks. No, what I mean is it's not for me. You know what I mean? It's hard. It's hard to do. And I mean, I won one. The other problem, too, is the first one I did probably should have been No Limit Hold'em. Yeah, like an idiot, I played Pot Limit Omaha.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it was...
Because now you got 16 cards every time.
It was brutal. It was brutal. But it was okay. It worked out. By the way I was seated and stuff, it kind of worked out where I really only had to concentrate on one, maybe two hands at a time. And then, you know, and I played really tight, so I did a lot of folding.
Yeah, see, I think I could probably do this with, like, Omaha 8 or something where I'm... My hands are much more defined at the beginning.
Yeah.
Particularly Limit Omaha, because I don't have to worry about the bet size then, too.
But, right.
Oh, Pot Limit Omaha.
Yeah,
wow,
I don't know what I was thinking.
That's all kinds of stuff.
But I was smart. I mean, I had won a bunch of money earlier tonight playing cash games, and I wanted to give it a try. So I bought like $1.25 one, just to see what it was like.
Yeah.
And I still won one of them, so I won 90 cents back. So I lost 35 cents.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I really lost 10 and 25 to the rake. So, you know, it was cool. I mean, I can definitely see people enjoying this, and this is a good training ground. For you to get used to multi-tabling.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So, I mean, I liked it. But for me, I mean, I liked that idea. But for me, Pot Limit Omaha was a mistake. You know? I mean, I only lost 35 cents on the deal, but I could have lost more. I mean, I could have just gone out. It's really weird.
Well, I'm sure people are going to start figuring out their strategies for this very quickly. So, it'd be interesting to see if the Ante-Up hotline rings with listeners with their own...
You know, it's very
strategies.
Similar to what we talked about on Stars, but Stars had with that double
or double or nothing.
You know, that it's kind of the same thing. I think you could get away with playing tight as a strategy, which I tried to do, but then it was getting kind of late, and I was getting kind of bored, to be honest, because it was just like, God, I'm folding all these hands. And then, of course, I got involved with the second nuts twice, and that's how I got the
money. Yeah, but you also get points for knocking people out, too, right? So there's probably more of an incentive to be aggressive in these things, I think, rather than tight.
That's true. But the
you probably make more points... By more people than you knock out.
But here's
right?
the thing, though. No, because the higher you finish, the more points you get, too, because you're surviving longer. You get survivor points.
Ah.
If someone gets knocked out, you gain a point. So if you just stay tight and finish third in all of them, it means you've gained 24 points alone from the people you survived. Never mind the ones you knocked out and stuff. So
it was pretty cool.
I mean, it's intriguing as hell. So I advise everybody to give it a shot, see if they like it. And if they like to multi-table, it's a natural for them. You know, I think it's a natural. I want to see somebody playing in three of these things. With 12 screens up there, and that would be
Matrix
cool.
Matrix cubed.
Well, I know that like Havad Khan could do it, but I don't know too many other people could. That would be brutal. Anyway, I tried it. I cashed in one. I won one, and I didn't make the top points though. I finished like fifth or sixth points.
But so not even a bronze.
I didn't even get any.
You got kind of like the pewter.
I get like the paper or the wood. The wood medal. It's contradiction in terms right there. Well, anyway, so it was fun. I was disappointed that I wasn't playing against like Neo or Trinity or Morpheus, but hey.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, what are you going to do? I wonder if they had to pay like the Wachowski brothers.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? They're not the Wachowski brothers anymore. One of them got a sex change. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. One's a woman now. So now I got to call them the Wachowski siblings.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I wonder if they had to pay for the right to do that.
Yeah, and Keanu's not a redline pro, right?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. Go. But man, when he sits down at the table, they just flock to his table.
All right, Chris. Well, there's a much bigger tournament coming in just a week or so.
Yeah.
It is called the Election.
Yeah.
For all of our U.S. listeners.
Yep.
And it looks like the PPA is trying to give us a little help here again, as they always do, our good friends at the Poker Players Alliance.
They are our good friends. I got that release, I think, a couple days ago. Well, actually, it was a little while. It was like a week ago. And I was encouraged by it, because what it does is it tells you every single state's, you know, representative and gives them grades on how they stack up with online poker and poker in general. And so I did a little homework, and I went to the Poker Players Alliance site. It's called their congressional rating site. And if you want the website, I'm going to put a link, obviously, in our wrap-up, but it's congressionalpoker.org. And you can check, if in America, you can check your state and see all the politicians on there and see how they graded. And the grades range from A-plus to a question mark. So it's A plus A, A minus B, D, F, and a question mark. And I think a question mark is like, there's no record of them doing anything.
Yeah, they probably just haven't done
anything. So it's like a C, maybe.
Or an incomplete,
an I. That's probably what it should have been. And so they also tell you what they mean. A plus means that they are actively working to protect your poker rights. A means that they supported online poker rights by co-sponsoring the HR 2046 and HR 2610 and supported other bills that were to regulate online poker, and then down the line, and then of course F would be you know you were the leader of online poker demise.
You play in Jim Leach's home game.
Yeah, exactly. And Bill Frist and having a Diet Coke. So anyway, some of ours were pretty much extreme. It was either F or A plus or whatever. You know, there weren't or a question mark. I mean, there weren't very many like B's or D's. But the best part too is that they put what district they're up from, they put where their office is, how to contact them, their phone number, their fax, even their emails. And you can contact them and say, what do you mean you got an F? I play online poker and I want you to represent me. And so you can get these politicians' ears and talk to them.
I don't really want their ears.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking Van Gogh. I'm talking figuratively.
All right, because that would get messy.
I think it's great. I love that the Poker Player Alliance is really, just organizing this and right before the election.
Absolutely.
And, talk to them. Know the issues and then vote.
Very important election coming up.
I think so. So hats off to the PPA, and I encourage everyone to check it out. And if you haven't joined, join. Doesn't cost anything to join. You can pay to join. Doesn't cost anything. Solidarity, baby.
Absolutely.
Power.
Power numbers.
Power and numbers. Hey, we both said that. That was pretty much.
That's why I like Omaha. You have four cards, more numbers. Chris, one of our listeners sent us an interesting blog link from a different blog. This is from the pokergrump.blogspot.com blog.
That's my site.
It should be.
I am a grump.
But this grump got to it first. So you could be pokergrump2.blogspot.com if you want. But interesting blog. I read a little bit of it. And The Poker Grump threw out this possibility for a new game. He says that he kind of gets tired every time about, you know, when a player wins and then the dealer asks him for the cards, and you hear that stupid joke that we've always heard 17 million times a day, that, you know, can I keep them?
Yeah, yeah.
So now he's thinking, hey, maybe we turn this into a home game that would be called Takeaway or maybe Reduction.
Okay.
You're intrigued, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because you love these new home games that I like to throw in the home game mix.
211, triple draw with high, and now Takeaway or Reduction. Sounds like a liposuction.
Oh, man. All right, so it would be played just like Texas Hold'em, with two exceptions, the Poker Grump says. First, the winning hand must be shown to all players, even if the player won by making a bet that no one called. All right. Second, those two cards are removed from the deck.
The winning cards?
Set aside, yes, the winning cards. So let's say you have pocket aces, you raised everybody out, two aces out of the deck.
Okay.
All right. This process continues until there are too few cards remaining to play the next hand.
This is sick.
I love it! And at that point, then all the cards return to the deck and we start over.
Okay. Am I, like, supposed to come up with a strategy? how am I supposed to react to this? I have no idea.
Well, the Poker Grump says he thinks this would make for an interesting challenge, though not perhaps readily compatible with the amount of alcohol ingestion commonly occurred at home poker games.
Well, here the key is that you it'll help you if you don't show the cards, like you don't keep them face up afterward. It'd be like stud, where it'll really train you to memorize what's out and, you know, keep track of what's out there.
Yeah, exactly. And he went on to say that he wasn't sure whether they should do that, whether they should keep the cards face up so people can see them or get rid of them. And
no!
I am totally with you on that. If you're going to play this crazy, weird takeaway reduction thing, you got to learn something from it. It could be a good learning tool. I mean, just like stud. Keep track of the cards that are out in your mind as you're playing.
Yeah, no way do you keep them face up.
Exactly.
What's the point of that?
If this is like a big card sharks with Chuck Woolery or something where you could see the cards or
higher
concentration.
Higher.
It doesn't do any good.
It's a four.
So definitely if you try this at home game,
I would
put those cards
down in
Al Gore's lockbox and
now I got a question for you.
Yes.
This just sparked right now. It's totally spontaneous. But, you know, you brought up the Cincinnati Kid.
I did.
Remember in that movie, the statistician guy who wrote down the odds and everything and kept... No.
I don't know why you couldn't just go to the internet and do it. But.
Would you advocate, like, letting someone have a pad and pen at the table and do notes? Because if it was, like, Raymer who was keeping notes during his World Series run and won it, that's one thing. You know, he's keeping track of chip counts and how people are playing and stuff. But in this game, you could write down what cards are out. Would you ban all writing utensils and pads and stuff from a game?
I'm not a banner. I don't like banning books or banning.
I'm not saying you're a Nazi. What I'm saying is, do you advocate like allowing people to take even if it was just our home game and weren't playing this game?
Well, why not?
Okay, so you could literally write down, okay, Scott folded the Ace of Hearts and the King of Clubs and keep it on you for this deck.
Then you just mess with them after that.
There's no way to mess with them.
Sure there is.
How?
You could play crazy.
No, the winning hand is the only hand that's shown. The winning hand is shown. So then
you're
talking
about in this takeaway.
In this takeaway game.
Oh, where people can write, no. Okay, I thought you meant in general.
So you would ban it then?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about just in general. You went off on a tangent there, and I followed you.
No, I'm
just
saying.
But no, in this game, no. That's part of the strategy, is being able to keep track of the cards that are gone.
Right, so you wouldn't allow somebody to take notes during a stud game, right?
I guess not now, no.
But that guy could take notes during a five-card stud. And that's another reason why that movie sucked.
Yeah, all right.
Hated that movie.
You're onto something here.
All right, so well, anyway, what do you think of this game?
But in a home game, the reason we would introduce new games in the home game are to increase our skills as the other games.
That's true. That's
it may
true.
Not be the same for other home games, but I think that
I was just curious
that's
about where you
here.
Stood on it, that's all.
So that's why, I'd want to get rid of the cards and hide them and...
Never let them come back.
And it becomes a skill towards the very end.
The very end.
It becomes a lot of skill.
The very end would be real
trying to remember
sick.
All the cards that are out.
That would be sick.
Of course, then you're also talking about a limited number of cards anyhow, so at that point, if there's any aces left, you get an ace.
Yeah. Ace might be good.
It might be good.
No, man. Don't even get me started on trying to get a strategy for this game.
You want
to
play this time next
insane.
Time.
Well, you're not calling this game. I'll deal that one, too, just like last week with the draw.
All right. So another listener from across the pond.
This is our listener show. I mean, really, the listeners are providing all the content.
Exactly. And we appreciate that.
Yeah, we were lazy. We didn't do anything this week.
But Stephen Rankin from Northern Ireland says that there's a new site out there that sadly is not accepting U.S. players like a lot of them are. Mm-hmm. But it's an online poker site called PKR.com,
right.
Which I guess you're supposed to pronounce poker.com.
I guess so.
Even though there's probably already a legitimate poker.com out there.
Yeah, I think there is.
But, you know, all these new sites, Chris, they have their own little gimmick.
Yep.
Because you got to separate yourself from the field. And their gimmick is that it's a 3D environment. Mm. So you're sitting at a table and people are kind of like moving and stuff. It's all computer generated, of course.
Right,
it's not like, you know, video cameras or anything.
Right.
So, but he wants to know whether he thinks that people would think this as the enjoyment of the game or as an annoyance slash distraction. And I think I know where you're going to go.
Okay, well, where do you think I'm going to go?
I think you're going to say it's not an annoyance or a distraction. It's both.
Oh, for a minute there, I was going to burn you and say, no! But yes, I think it is both. I think it is an annoyance and a distraction. I think it's, you know, if I want all that crap, I would just play live.
Now, I mean, you're able to, I don't know, I tried to play around with it a little bit. I you know, didn't have much time to really get into, I think U.S. players can play for free.
Yeah,
on
play money.
Candy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so I'm not sure how much control you have over your...
Emote.
and I guess you'd have to have some, or
right.
It wouldn't be fun at all.
Right.
So, but then I don't know how you control your emote, how much effort you have to put into that while also playing cards, because, you know, really that's what we're trying to do is play cards.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it's, you know, you're in a hand with Joe Schmo, and you don't know if he should call, and then the guy pushes a button that makes him make a funny face, or,
yeah.
You know, or cover his eyes, or his mouth, or, well, this is stupid.
See, we need to get Joe Navarro to watch this and pick up some emote tells.
Hey, I'm glad you brought Joe up, too, because I'd like everyone out there to send us your nonverbal questions to Joe. We're running out, so send the questions to him at editor@anyupmagazine.com, and we will be sure to pass those on to him and get them answered for you in the magazine or even on our show. So don't
Very
forget
good.
To send those questions. I'm glad
Very
you brought
good.
Them up, man. You're smart.
Here, I wonder if they have like a Phil help me throw a chair emote button, too.
that would be easily analyzed.
See, that would make it more fun for me, then. If
yeah,
you could, like, just go off on somebody.
Call
or
them an idiot.
Flick a card at the dealer.
Get a penalty. You showed your finger, now you have to sit out for 15 minutes. And I don't think that they would allow something like that. I'm sure it's very limited in the emotes, though.
Yeah, but
you
that
know?
Could be cool.
That'd be wild. All right, you know what I hear?
You hear the 813-448-1120 Antiup hotline, I think.
I do. Our good friends at DB Dealer are offering up some cards, so let's play the clip.
Hey, guys. This is Kelly. I am an online player. I love your podcast. And I just thought I would pass along a little story that I think you would very much enjoy. I am subscribed to Daniel Negreanu's Poker VT, and I was watching one of the online players do the video thing, and he's going along playing, and he says, oh, I recognize that name. I think that guy beat me out of a tournament. I'm going to Google him and see what his name is or see who he is. So he goes along in this tournament. I stopped the tournament. I go and Google myself under my internet name, which I'm not going to tell you because it was, like, way too embarrassing. And here's this long story about how this guy beat me back when I first started playing. I was messing around on different levels of tournaments. It happened to be a $11, you know, $10, $1 deal. And I played the hand horrendously bad. And it was on a 2+2 forum about me, calling me a total donkey and saying, if you played this any differently, you might have lost the one you had on the line, inferring that I'm a fish, and so on. So in the meantime, there's this other website that comes up that, like, tracks people and has them all listed. So I put myself in there to see what kind of a rating I have. And sure enough, the little bowl came up with the little goldfish jumping in and out of it. I was highly insulted and buckled down to some heavier study. Love the work you're doing, guys. Keep it up. It's totally enjoyable.
Now, I have to admit, when I first heard this clip, I thought, what's the point of the clip? I don't know why she called. But then I realized it was just, like, wild that, you know, she could find herself online and Google herself or whatever.
Yeah, and this is probably, like...
you know, or at least her online name.
Exactly. Old hat to a lot of players. But, you know, to be honest, it was like, I don't know, probably a little bit more than a year ago before someone sent a listener sent us an email and said, you know, hey, I put my name into Google as I often do to see whether I show up. And at that point, it never occurred to me to ever put off deadline into Google and see what popped up. I'm stupid that way, I guess. So then I put it in, and it's been fun every once in a while. Now I think about it every couple months and throw it in and see what kind of hand histories on blogs you show up in.
Well, I've done it, and I always show up in, like, our listeners' blogs. That's really all I show up in when I do Will Hopper.
So you're not a, you know, a fish supreme on some of these tracking sites like our good friend Kelly.
No, I don't think I play enough online to even register. And I don't play any tournaments, so that's usually what it tracks. It doesn't really track cash games. But yeah, that was cool. And Kelly, if you send us your address, we will send you the wonderful plastic playing cards from DB Dealer.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of Stalag 17. We are midway through a three-table league game. League games are interesting in that your image carries from week to week. It's folded to me in mid-position, and I look down at two black aces. I'm going to raise it up here to about 700, which is 3.5x big blind. I only want one caller here because I feel oftentimes it's very hard to get away from aces. Only the big blind calls, and we see a flop of 9 of spades, 8 of diamonds, 2 of spades.
I'm not afraid, sir. He could even have something, if I'm lucky.
But he comes out betting post-flop, a pot-sized bet of 1,700. Now, I started with 7,000 behind, and he started with nearly 9,000 behind, so that's a significant size. I paused to think. A limp call, then ready to take the lead in the hand. What is my action here?
Okay, so I convinced you last week that we were ahead.
Yes.
You changed your mind. So
yes.
Have you changed your mind during the week?
I have not.
All right, we're still ahead. Let's see what happens.
Welcome back. I take a second to think about why he bets pot. I think it's to protect his hand. I'd say maybe in the jack-jack 10-10 range. If I'm right, it's a good time to get all his money in. If I'm wrong, it's a set or jack-10 suited. But I don't see him betting pot with a set. I'm hoping he's stubborn here, but I need to price out his draw if that's indeed what he has. So I shove my entire stack in, and he insta-calls with the jack-10. The turn pairs the board with an 8, and the river brings the queen of hearts, and just like that, we're dealt a cooler.
Take this man to the cooler.
Some would say I should let this go.
Until next time, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com thinking I played it correctly.
Make more money, have more fun. Be a poker dealer. The Casino Dealer Video School presents the Learn to Deal Texas Hold'em Poker DVD. We cover everything. 23 table procedures like raking, side pots, mechanical skills, and practice exercises. It's great for home games or anyone who wants to learn the game. Call 1-888-567-2387 or go online, casinovid.com. That's casinovid.com.
Only $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
Order yours today.
Hey, this is Hoyt Corkins, and I'm listening to Annie Up.
What's that sound we hear, Chris? That's the sound of the mailbag hotline not ringing because it's a mailbag. And the
drawstring is opening?
Yeah, we probably need like that Mr. Rogers postal guy that, you know, can ring his little bell and mail call.
Mail call.
But it's not the same.
Man, we haven't done a mailbag since we started the magazine.
This is our first independent mailbag.
Very cool.
So,
very cool. And so we're going to mix it up a little bit today. We're going to do little things a little bit differently.
Yeah, we'll throw a couple things in there and we'll get a wide variety of interesting reader
and
or listener questions.
And you're going to read all the questions.
Yeah, because
I'm not articulate.
I've got a better voice.
Yeah, and I'm just going to answer however I feel about it.
Yeah, and you're more likely just to go off the cuff and say something stupid.
Yeah,
so.
And you'll interject and make it worse.
All right, well, let's start out. The first one comes from Jason, who he lives in Rochester, New York, And they're doing a home game tournament, like they always do. And they're trying to work on a good structure for a no-limit hold'em tournament with 5,000 or more chips. And he put together one, and he sent it to us. And hopefully we can find a way to post this on the recap. I don't know whether we can or not.
Probably not.
but in short, again, remember, it's 5,000 chips. And very quickly, it starts at 2550, goes to 5100, 100 200, 100 to 200 with a quarter ante, 150 to 300 with a quarter ante, 200, 450 ante, 300 to 650 ante, and kind of goes up in those steps. So each ante level is two, and rather than doubling for the most part after the first couple, they go up in smaller steps.
Always advisable, always enjoyable. Ante a little early there for me, but maybe they're trying to speed it up a little.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the thing I think I said, is that if you want the turnips to last a long time, this is a good structure.
Yeah.
If you want to get a lot of play out of your money, the small increases are the way to go. And then I think the ante is probably a way to kind of mitigate the slowness a little bit, so it speeds up.
Yeah, and plus you can get aggressive a little earlier there too, you know, because now there's more money to win. But that sounds fine to me. I like structures like that. I think I remember that email too and responding to it and saying, yeah. Yeah, that's a good structure.
But yeah, if you're trying to get a couple of these tournaments in a night, then this isn't the way to go.
No, obviously.
But a good deep stack, you get plenty of beer in the fridge.
Yeah.
Not a bad structure.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, very good.
Somehow, I don't know how that was a question, but...
Well, he was asking whether it was a good structure or not. That's the question.
All right,
we've got a definitive question for
all
the
right.
next one, then.
Good.
All right?
All right, good.
Daniel writes in with an interesting thing that happened in their home game.
All right.
Another home game question. And he wanted our advice. It's three-handed in a nine-man no-limit hold'em game. The short stack with two bets total is the big blind and decides to go all-in blind. Okay, first of all, you can't do that.
No.
I love when people try to do that.
No.
And then the dealer says you can't do that.
No.
And they're like, well, I'm going to go all in anyhow. So they put people on notice. But you can't go all in.
Right.
So
you can put them on notice, but you can't actually
do it. If you come in the pot, then you're only going to win for the one bet.
Yeah.
But you probably are going to have to call that second bet.
Right.
But all right. But that's not his question.
Okay. Great. Yeah, we're on a time limit here today.
All right. So the under the gun calls just the big blind, and the button moves all in to protect. When the under-the-gun player goes into the tank, the button says, let me make this easier, and shows queen, queen.
So that's not good.
Exposes his hand.
You're not supposed to do that.
All right, after a lot of swearing and whatnot, I wonder what the whatnot part was, we decided the button's hand was considered dead, and the under-the-gun mucked his hand after seeing the queen, queen, the big blind's Christmas present there. It was also decided the short stack be matched by the button and take the under-the-gun's blind. I don't know what that is.
But. I don't know what that means.
So it did come up later, however, that perhaps the under the gun should have at least been given the option to play the hand out, considering the button's hand was dead before the gun under the gun mucked. Button was next out, and the short stack came back from five bets and won! Yes!
Wow. So apparently it's a tournament, not a game.
But, you know, he asked, his question is, how this played out in your run-of-the-mill casino tournament?
So clearly this is a tournament.
Not a sounds now. I didn't say tournament to begin with, but he's asking how it turned out a tournament. So we turn to our good friend Sam Minatello, poker manager down at Sarasota Kennel Club, One Eye Jacks.
Yep.
Because he runs casino tournaments. We don't. We just play them.
No. I've run some tournaments, but not casino ones. And in this case, I wouldn't know what to do, so I'm glad Sam's on our side. And you want me to read his response, or do you want to read
it? You go ahead here. He gave us two responses because he wasn't sure whether it was a live game or tournament, but it's good to know how
why don't we just go
director
to his,
would...
Let's go to his tourney answer instead.
Okay.
He says, an attorney, he would not kill the queen-queen. The hand would play out with under the gun deciding whether or not to call. At the end of the hand, I would give queen-queen at least a 20-minute penalty. If he did it again, I would disqualify him from the tournament and take his chips out of play. That's the answer he's looking for. So that's what we gave him.
Exactly.
That's what you should do. That guy shouldn't have done that. It's just, you're not allowed to show your cards. As a matter of fact, I've played down there in a sit and go when a guy showed his cards and he made him sit out. It was a sit and go. I think he gave him a round because a sit and go is different than a multi table. I think they may have given him a round penalty. I'm not sure, you know, whole orbit. But yeah, the guy sat out and he showed his cards and sat out. So he's real strict down there. He needs to be. For that kind of particular incident, and I applaud him for that. So
again, we gotta get past this whole showing cards kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's just amateurish. I think.
I mean, It depends. You know, I mean, Negreanu always advocates for showing cards, but it's only when they're in the hand already and their head's up. But during, when people still have action and stuff, you're not allowed to do that. That's ridiculous. You have people still to act and whatever. So that's wrong. But if your head's up into a hand already and you want to show someone a card, I love that. I think that's a great idea. You want to get reactions and things like that. That's okay. But in this instance, it's not. So anyway.
All right. Well, we thank Sam for helping us out with that question.
Cool.
All right, next one comes from Kevin, and this is a question I think we've gotten before, but this is the first time we've got it since we're independent.
Okay.
All right. And he wants to know whether we thought about stepping back from the, quote, journalistic style of reporting we did on the show while we were at the St. Pete Times and TBT. And he says because he thinks at times we felt that because we hadn't done the original reporting, we were hesitant to talk about online scams and other things. He mentions the Ultimate Bet and Absolute Poker issues. And then went ahead and said that, you know, even if we didn't feel like doing the, or we had the time to do the research, that we should probably invited some of the folks that did do the research onto the show. So our listeners can benefit from hearing more about these scams than the Wild Wild West comments that allies like to throw out.
I'm just not comfortable with poker is not exactly, you know, journalistically, I'm not really sure if I'm comfortable with relying on someone else to do my reporting.
Well, it's a tough thing because, one, I mean, the Wild Wild West comments that I always put out, and I think people get upset about, it's true. I mean, there's scams all the time online.
Yeah.
And I certainly respect the people that have the time to dig into this stuff. And certainly the biggest first breakthrough, I think, really showed that you could, if you could dig, you can actually get to the bottom of this kind of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I guess to me, just letting people know that these things are out there and directing them to the people that have done it is, you know, the best service we can do.
Yeah, I don't have any problem.
Don't really need to reinvent the wheel. And, yeah. You know, at the same point, like you said, you know, bringing people on the show to actually talk more about what they learn, maybe, I guess. But
you'd have to see, the thing about it, though, is to be journalistically sound, you'd have to invite both sides.
Exactly.
And then we're
exactly.
not going to get anybody from the other side to get on the show and talk about it. And if we did, you know, then they'd have to both be on at the same time. Or, you know, I don't feel comfortable letting one person spew about what they found when it's not in, you know, it's not in the courts. It's not, you know what I mean? Like that whole lawsuit that's going on with UB and AB. You know, what are we going to say about it? Yeah, there's a lawsuit against them about the whole cheating scandal. Okay, well, what are we going to do? Have the person who's suing them on the show? I mean, you know, it's a fine line here.
Yeah, we like to keep the show light and fun, too, at times.
Yeah, I mean, we're not here to, you know, we weren't here to do it last time, either. You know, when we were at the Times, we weren't there to do hardline journalism and offend people. You know, we're here to talk. It's poker. Who cares? You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about, like, people getting cheating. Who cares? I'm just saying we're trying to have a good time here. We're not trying to bring everybody down and whatever. And same with the magazine. We're just trying to inform. You know, we're not trying to break stories and win a Pulitzer. So,
well, okay, we're trying to have fun right here. So let's lighten it up with the next question.
Excellent.
All right, this comes from our good friend Father Paul.
Yeah, Father Paul.
Haven't heard from him in a while.
Hey, he's on the little running thing at the
running thing?
In the
I don't know what you mean.
In the exercise room. You know, the treadmill thing.
Yeah, okay.
Or Stairmaster.
Yes, that's right. That's right. All right.
He's listening to us
exactly,
right now.
Yeah.
He's
getting
the Stairmaster.
Shape while listening to the NEO. All right. Well, he's taking a look at the pictures of us on the website at anteupmagazine.com.
Uh-huh.
And he said it made them think of the Joker's line in The Dark Knight, "Why so serious?" He says the pictures are just fine, but you definitely have the high confidence tell image, Chris. A little emoticon there. I don't know if it's a PKR.com emoticon. And of course, we're in the studio here at WDAE 620, the Sports Animal, and there are not one but two Dark Knight posters
I know.
Staring us down, and they look, I got to say, far more serious than our pictures.
Yeah.
Of course, the one behind you does say, why so serious?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I think we took some lighthearted ones there. We just decided to pick the
best
scary ones. Because,
yeah.
You know.
They were the best ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just because we want to be serious, you know, we want people to know that we're not just joking around here. You know what
so
I mean? You know, the last email letter we said we wanted to have fun and joke around, but for the magazine, we want them to know we're serious. You know, we're not just a couple of goofballs trying to make money. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I like to intimidate, I think. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would never guess that, bet you.
All right. Well, I had no idea why we did that. Just those were the best looking shots, I think, if that happened to me. Should have seen the other ones. Oh, my God.
We got a audio daily double coming up here, Chris. Of course, the 1 minute time limit, which we always laughed about. This guy exceeded it not once, not twice, but gave us three clips. But it's a pretty funny string of a little
trip to Vegas
action that he had. So let's listen to those.
Hey, Chris and Scott, this is Mike from New Jersey calling in. I was just out in Vegas this past weekend for my business, and I was mentioning your show at the tables down in Caesars. Met some good players and a lot of bad players. Pretty interesting. It was an interesting scenario that had happened at the tables late one night on Sunday. I believe it was Mexican Independence Day or something. And two ladies sat down at the table who had never, ever played a hand of poker in their lives and couldn't speak a lick of English. So it was very strange how they each pulled out $100 out of the clip, and I took the first hand off of the one lady, tapping her out of her 100 on two high cards. It was actually, you know, really, really strange. So later on, I mean, right after that, they proceeded to just keep pulling out one. Okay, 1 minute is really quick. So after they lost their buy-in, each time they kept buying in for another $100. But it took 5 minutes to go through a hand with them to show them, put the money in the middle, say how to put their cards on the table. It was absolutely crazy. And it was basically a race to see who could put their money in first to try to take down their $100. And it lasted for about an hour that I stayed there, but the hands took 5 minutes a hand. I proceeded to go over to a tournament, took second in a tournament at midnight after that, then went on to play some cash games and met some more people that played down in Florida in the poker scene, someone that you're looking to get in your magazine. So I just wanted to say hi and let you tell you have a great show. And I was talking about you guys down at the tables in Caesars and Vegas. Talk to you later. Bye. Hey, Chris and Scott. Mike from New Jersey. The original point of my conversation a couple minutes ago was to find out what you guys thought about someone sitting down at the table like that and blowing their money really quickly. But actually, it wasn't really quickly. It took like an hour because each hand took 5 to 10 minutes to deal a hand. It was actually pretty painful. It was like watching a train wreck. So I was just curious. After I left the table, one of the women leaves to go sit down at the 2-5 no limit game, which I thought was absolutely hysterical. So just curious what your thoughts were, and if you've ever run across anything like that. One of the dealers there never said he'd never seen anything like that before also. And that was a seasoned dealer in Vegas. So figured I'd put it out there to you. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you there. Bye.
Oh, I got to say, I think I probably have more patience with slow players than you would.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Exactly.
None. But you know who else doesn't have patience for slow players? Doyle Brunson.
Yeah.
So
really.
I'm keeping good company. He gave Howard Lederer some crap during the cash game week on Poker After Dark. Lederer took like 29 seconds to make a bet. And when it was all over, you know what he said? He said, I bet it takes you 2 hours to watch 60 minutes. So I'm in the same boat as him, man. I hate slow playing.
Yeah.
I hate
no,
it.
No, I generally do too. But, you know, if somebody's going to be just handing me money, you know, you got to figure out your time and effort involved and the frustration.
And that could be the influence of the internet. You know, you have 15 seconds to act.
It's true. Very true.
All right. Well,
the next question comes from Ken Engstrock, a longtime listener. He says, almost every sit and go he plays nowadays on PokerStars, there are at least a couple players from outside the U.S., Germany and Brazil in particular. But this was not the case a couple months ago, he thought. In addition, lots of these new players are trying the non-no-limit hold'em sit and goes. Yes! Could it be that another non-U.S. poker boom is making its way online? And will this boom not be as no-limit hold'em driven as the previous booms?
You know, I can't answer that.
You can.
Every
Go
time
ahead.
I play, no matter where I play, they're always from all over the country. It's not just not just United States. So I don't think so. I think it's always been this way. He's just happening to notice it now. To me, I mean, whenever you're playing a cash game online, I'm like full tilt. You move the cursor over the player's avatar and it says what country they're from. I occasionally do that, and almost always United Kingdom, Germany, and Brazil, and
it
know,
depends on the time
up.
Of day, too.
Yeah, and it depends on what time you're playing.
But the other thing, a couple weeks ago on the show, I think we mentioned about how PokerStars is getting much more aggressive in their marketing outside of the United States. So maybe that's why he's seeing a couple more there, too. And, of course, I think the players in Europe that we've known for a while have been more excited about some of these non-no-limit hold'em games than the folks here stateside.
But, you know, I don't think that – I think that the overall game of poker is growing over there. I mean, you heard Chino a couple weeks ago or whatever talk about how the players in Europe, they know their game. They know how to play. They want to outplay you on the flop, and they want to float and, you know, and then just battle you for every pot. They're real aggressive over there. So it's not just Omaha anymore. And I think that's a sign. I mean, you may see other games, you know, emerging, but really I think it's just a matter of just poker. People just love poker everywhere now, and I don't think it's anything new. I think it's always been that way. You just maybe hadn't noticed it, really. That's just my take, but...
Yeah. I don't know. All right, so last question. Mike writes in that said, it would be nice to have a link to sponsors' websites on your website. So they listen to the podcast away from the computer and wanted to visit one of the sponsors, getastake.com. But he spent 5 minutes trying to find the commercial on the podcast and got frustrated and gave up. He said it might be an incentive to prospective advertisers to have a link on your site. So, Chris, why don't you remind Mike and all of our other listeners where they can go to get these links?
Well, we do a recap every week in our forum at anteupmagazine.com/forum, and we have a thing on there for the Ante Up podcast recap. I do a link to the sponsors there. Are you looking for different ways to build your bankroll, decrease your variance, move up in limits, or discuss strategy? GetAstake.com has your back. At GetAstake.com, you can get staked into games and tournaments, or just hang out and have some fun. GetAstake.com even has live voice chat. Sign up using the referral code ANTEUP to enjoy special promotions just for ANTEUP listeners. And read more about GetAstake.com in the November issue of ANTEUP magazine. GetAstake.com has your back.
Do you want to reach thousands of poker players in more than 30 countries around the world? The award-winning ANTEUP podcast is your best bet. Go to ANTEUPmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335 to explore advertising opportunities starting at just $100.
And would you like to read ANTEUP Magazine? Go to ANTEUPmagazine.com and subscribe for just $25 a year.
So our Hand of the Week is brought to you by our good friends at PokerWizWheel.com. 169 starting Texas Hold'em hands and one easy to spin wheel at the wheel. Use the code ANTEUP08 and save 20% on your purchase. The Hand of the Week comes from Brian from Chicago this week, Chris. Long-time listener. And it is a no-limit hold'em cash game, $1, $2 on PokerStars. And he sits down with $200, and he says this hand is going to be one on how to extract the most chips. And he also goes on to say it's 2 a.m. and he's been drinking for 10 hours. So you know it's going to be a fun hand. All right, it's his third hand at the table, and he's on the button. There are four callers ahead of him, all with normal stacks of between $100 and $200. And he looks down at two black queens.
Awesome.
All right, he's looking to isolate and build a pot, so he raises to $10. Good?
That's about right, especially live.
All right. Under the gun player with 160 calls and everybody else folds. All right, so we got heads up, okay. And we're in position.
Okay.
All right, the flop comes 2-9 queen rainbow.
Oh, sweet.
Woohoo!
There's no hand that could beat us. I mean, it would take a monumental effort to draw out on us, too, here. So yep. I'm loving that. And maybe the $10 isn't enough, too, either, but it got him what he wanted, but you know, with four callers, it probably would have bet more than that. I forgot there was four callers. We're happy with this flop, I got to tell you.
Yeah. So he checks to us. So what do we want to do here?
I'd still bet, though. I mean, I represent his strength, so I'd bet half the pot.
Okay. So our hero here says he wants to get his pot as big as possible, and since there are no draws out there, check here would look incredibly fishy. If any part of flop, he might call. So he didn't want to lose any of his three remaining chances to get a bet in. So with a pot of $26, he bets $9.
Yeah, I guess. That's not too bad.
You probably would have bet a little bit more, though.
Maybe right? A little more, but that's okay. That's still all right. It's still, you know, it's about a third of the pot. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think. I think we're doing good.
All right. He said he didn't want to scare him off, and he wanted to make it look like a weak continuation bet.
Okay.
Figured a third-size bet will allow any pair higher than 9 to call, or even a 9.
Okay.
He gets min-raise, Chris.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, we like that, right?
Yeah.
You got the best hand. Of course, he could have Jack-10 and be on a straight draw, but we're ahead right now, right?
Yep. I think maybe I would fool around a little here and smooth call.
Okay. So he says he has him on a queen or in the pocket pairs higher than 9. If he re-raises here, he might lose them. So he wants to look weak and pray that he has a queen. He says his min raise is a raise for information. He doesn't want to give him what he's looking for. So he calls.
Yeah,
that's the same thing you did.
Yeah, that's what I would have
done. All right, $62 in the pot. Checks to me on the turn produces another 2.
Yeah, I mean, we're only losing the quads now. So
exactly.
You can't be afraid of quads. We always say that in the show.
So he's trying to get his whole stack in. So he wants to make his turn bet make the pot equal his chip stack. So a pot size bet on the end is his entire stack.
So he wants to shove, is what he's saying.
Says I don't want to scare him. I want to give him the odds to hit a set or trip nines, drawing dead.
I don't.
So what
I
is the most you would call with second top pair here? He asks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
of course, it's checked to us. So
yeah, I would bet. I'd probably bet half again. I'd bet like $30. That's what I would bet in a $62 pot. I would bet 30. In case he's, you know, he could have a set. He could have his own boat now. That's
exactly.
Why he checked. He could have nines, and now he has his own boat. So
all that's right, what I would. So bet. We bet 10 instead.
That's not a lot.
That almost looks like that's we've got a monster. We're just trying to get paid off a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
that's kind of weak.
So our hero, I mean, the opponent calls, pots okay. $82.
Okay.
He has 120 left in him, and the river brings a meaningless five, and the opponent bets out 22.
Well, now you just shove. I mean,
at this point, right?
You just got to shove, right? I mean, there's no other move here, and obviously, I would just shove. I wouldn't min raise because that's just fishy. I would just shove. And if you don't get it, you got a pretty decent pot anyway.
All right, our hero decides not to go for the entire stack, raises to $85, and the opponent calls and leaves him without 40. He turns over.
I don't know. Not pocket nines, because he just called, so I don't know. Jacks?
Yeah. 9-10.
Oh, jeez. Wow. That's a lot of money to lose with 9-10.
Crazy.
Oh, my God, that's sad.
Crazy. All right, so anyhow, Brian, thanks for sending us your address, and we will ship you out a whiz wheel.
Awesome.
And Chris will be back next week with another exciting show, right?
And a brand new one-minute mystery.
Ooh, brand new one-minute mystery.
I am Chris Cosenza.
And I am Scott Long.
We will see you at the table. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@annieupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@annieupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.